Listen, I'm getting you ready for that next, that launch. This is going to be you 5.0. This is the upgrade. We're in a different place. You ready? The title of this series is Stand. Stand. S-T-A-N-D. Stand. Prefaces on after having done all. Stand. The key to everything you've been learning, the key to seeing a victory in everything you want to do in life. You're listening to me, James? You're listening to me? You're listening to me, everybody else? The key to every, and the reason I'm pointing you out because you're this is your ambitious group. Okay? So this is a different type of thing when you have a 9-to-5 spirit. All right? No disrespect to a 9-to-5 spirit, but it takes a different person to have that kind of drive, entrepreneurial or self-employed. That takes a different type of culture. You listening to me? It takes a different type of culture when, you know, and we got a few, how many of you are either entrepreneurial or self-employed? Okay? So, boom. This is what I'm about to say right here is very important for you. It takes a different culture and mindset to win at that. It takes, if you went to the public school system, you were taught to be an employee. You were trained as a child to color in the lines. And green leaves should only be green. And trees are supposed to be brown. Why do you have a pink tree? All of this is designed to put you into a mindset that you work for somebody. When I found out not too long ago that the school system was originally designed by major corporations, I was shocked by that. I didn't know that. That corporations put the school system together because they wanted people to work for them that were already trained in the classroom, that already had the disciplines to follow rules and when to eat lunch and when to be there and when to take a gym break, and also they were preparing you for the workforce. And they didn't want you to be there and not be able to read and be stupid. So to put those together, they're developing a workforce. Now, let's think about this. You're now in that system, trained with those rules and guidelines. But then there's something inside of you that wants to go outside those lines and do something different. But your approach to it is in the lines. You caught that, right? Your approach to it is doing it in the lines. How do I be unique? How do I be different? How do I be this kind of ambitious, but then still stay in these lines that I've been taught to stay in my whole life? It calls for a different type of culture, a different kind of mindset. You have to be uncomfortable. This fits everybody, but I'm using this sector of people to make a point. Because I'm going to eventually relate it to you being a believer. So don't tune out and figure, okay, he ain't talking to us right now. Yes, I is. How do you excel in this dream of being entrepreneurial or self-employed with the mindset of staying inside of the lines? It doesn't work. You got to go against the colors, the flow, and the stream. You can't be a person that says, I got to get up every morning and be there at 8 and come home at this time and eat lunch at this time. You have to be able to bend your schedule and do whatever you need to do, whenever you need to do it to make that thing work. You have to be comfortable, watch this, without what they call a steady paycheck. If you've been taught to budget and live by a steady paycheck, you will not survive in this realm. You got to treat money, listen to what I'm saying, like Joseph did. He said to the king, okay, you're going to have some good years. And then we're going to stack all this up because there's going to be 7 years where there's not good. And we're going to have to live off of that. You can't say, ooh, now I can go get that car and that TV and put it all on credit, and I'm just going to pay it off because my weekly payments allow me to pay that. You don't know what your weekly payments are. You got to come out of that mindset to win there. The way you approach life has to be totally different. I know what I'm talking about. We've been doing it for over two decades. You all got to think about this. I know you don't pay this no mind. You just look at me, Pastor's prosperous. Yeah, like prosperity just fell out my behind on the floor and I picked it up. Okay? It didn't happen like that. Okay? There's a process that we had to unlearn and we had... No, because you think like I like poop golden eggs or something. That's not how it works. I had to unlearn systems and relearn systems. I had to come to the realization that prosperity is only opportunity that I get a hold of. That's all it is. Not spiritual blessings from above that fall down and I walked out in my yard and there lay diamonds. Opportunities that are presented that I get a hold of, that's prosperity. I don't know about that. You don't? Show me in the Bible where God dropped money out of heaven into people's hands. He told them to go conquer lands. And he told them how to do it. Walk around for 7 days. And sing songs. Or be quiet. Then the last day shout. All this stuff goes against conventional war wisdom. Are you getting me? You don't put the choir in front. I want to meet that choir who was comfortable wanting to be in front of the army, knowing that they'd be the first victims if it went down. And all your God is some singing and some horns and stuff. I want to meet them. That's a different kind of people. You understand what I'm saying? That's a different kind of mind. That you actually believe that your musical instrument is powerful enough to keep an army off of you. So when you look at us, understand something. Everything I decided I wanted to do and be went against the grain to everybody in my family, everybody I know, everybody in my wife's family. Nobody had an encouraging word about this destiny. Not because they wanted to put me down, but because it went against the lines that we were taught to color in. Thank God that my wife, either she was just crazy or she just really had faith, said, I believe in your crazy ideas. It must be God because it don't make no other kind of sense. And she allowed me to be crazy and go outside the lines and rub people the wrong way and go against the grain. Because listen to me, what I'm about to say is powerful. You ready? What are we talking about today? Standing. The reason that you rub people wrong is because you're walking with the wrong people. You can't get people that are in line, that color in the line people, to color the way you color. To use the kind of colors you use, and you have to stand there and take too much time explaining to them why you're using that color, those people got to get cut off. Amen. God told me, I need you to cut your team down to just 3 people and everybody else needs to go. Because they are not dreaming. They're waiting. They're waiting. They're waiting for things to blow up and you, Big Papa, to hook them up. But they're not going to contribute to the dream. And if they're not a contribution, they need to go. Your heart to want to help the world and save the whales and everything else. The whales are saved themselves. You need to get in line with what I'm called you to do with this season. Now, let's take that spiritual. So all you entrepreneurs and self-employed, I spoke to you. You understand what I'm saying, right? You can't talk to people who are trained for 9-to-5s and ever have success in your business. You can't think like them. You got to go against the grain. You got to be the oddball. You got to eat lunch in the beginning at the table by yourself. Got it? Got it? Got it? children of God, trying to win at the things of God, coloring inside the world's lines, expecting deliverance and the prosperity and the move of God to come through conventional means only. If I could just get this job, if I could just get more pay, if I could just, you know, get along better with my boss, if I could just change departments, all of the things that the world does to see the victories of God, of the world, you're trying to translate those, and it's a different language. It's a different culture. It's a different culture fit. It doesn't work like that. Do some of the rules apply? Of course they do. Some rules are general rules. We understand that. But if you look at those rules, they all fall in line with the Bible, even the ones at work. You know, thou shalt not steal and bear false witness against thy neighbor. You know, all those are basic boundaries, but they're biblical. They're not business. The order and structure of it, you know, Jethro to Moses, this thing you do before all the people is not good. Get yourself captains over 100, and then captains over 1,000, and then captains over 10, and you just report to those. So that, what is that? That's delegation. That's corporate structure. It didn't come from Harvard. It came from Jethro talking to Moses in the Bible. Managers and supervisors and all of that. Got it? So those principles are biblical principles, which this country was supposed to be built on. Now, you got the corporate structure that is designed to make you workers, peons. So I work to pay my bills. Are you listening to me? I know I'm speaking to some of you. Even your business, you work to pay your bills. Even you calling yourself an entrepreneur, you work to pay your bills. You're not an entrepreneur. You're not in the entrepreneur's mind. You are self-employed. You just got a job working for yourself. That's all it is. If you have to go to work for money to be made, you're not an entrepreneur. You're self-employed. Entrepreneurs make money when they're home. With my feet up on the pillow, watching Leave It to Beaver. Yes, I still get checks. You follow what I'm saying? Now, I'm not saying that to brag. I'm saying it's a different mindset. It's a different way of looking at it. If you're called to prosper in the things of God, God's way of moving is not the world's way. Start at the bottom and work your way to the top. Take a note with that real quick. Where in the Bible, because they say it in church, well, you want to be a leader in this church, you know, you got to start at the bottom, cleaning the toilets, and work your way up, you know, and eventually we'll make you an assistant, an usher's assistant, and then, you know, you keep doing good, we'll make you an usher, and, you know, if you keep being good, eventually we might make you a deacon, hey, and, you know, then, you know, you can wind up being an assistant pastor, and, you know, and you keep on kissing my behind and doing exactly what I say, you know, I might lead a church to you when I die. And that's a career goal. Or I'll just go find another church and fill in my resume and give them my stuff and see if the board will approve me and give me a pastor's job. Wow. Where's that biblical? Did God ever call any of the people he called and say, okay, you're not really called, but I'm going to train you and see if I could qualify you? When God calls you, he calls you and he tells you, this is who you are. Let's take just a couple of people. Gideon, you mighty man of valor. Hiding in the wine press, denying his calling. Moses, I don't even speak good. I can't stand in front of the people. Can I take Aaron with me and let him speak for me? These are the people that God said, no, you are called to do this. But I'm not educated in that way. Nobody asked you to be. Listen to me. Your calling is implanted, and the education comes in pursuit of the calling. You are it. David, no, you're not getting it. You're not getting it. David was called to be king. He was a sheep herder. The brothers were more trained to be kings or royalty or accepted as royalty. They were groomed for the throne. David was rejected as the one who will pick up sheep poop. That's your job. Shear the sheep. Make sure lions don't attack them. I'm trying to picture how David's daddy thought of him, that he left him out there to have to fight bears and lions to protect his sheep. How important was he to him? No, you need to catch this. I'm talking about a calling. I'm talking about the way the rules go. Daddy was following the rules. This is how you train those boys that you've identified to be great. To be great. They probably stood up straight. They yes sir'd. They walked with that And David just walked around with a little stick and just, come on, sheep. Right? Probably stunk. He was out there with sheep and goat all day. He's probably, you ever been on a farm? Yeah. It's not a good smell. It gets all in your clothes and everything. I went to one just to visit, and I didn't like the way I smelled when I came out. Imagine this is what you do all day. You wake up in the morning, and that's what you do. Milking them, feeding them, sharing them, having conversations with them. So how you doing today, giving them nicknames to the sheep? You Pixie, and I'm going to call you Pinky. And you know, come on, these are his buddies. How deep is it that God pinpoints him and earmarks him as king with no prior training to be a king? His conversation wasn't even right. He probably spoke Ebonics, whatever their version of Ebonics was at the day. He wasn't cultured like his brothers. No, I don't know. I don't think you're getting this. We can pull up the verses and prove it. But when what was his name? The prophet came. Samuel, thank you. When Samuel comes looking for the king to his father's house, his father says, yeah. And he marches his sons out, except David. And he lines them up. Here they are. Pick your choice. And he looked at him and said, no, it's none of them. And David's father said, I don't have no other son. I don't know who you're thinking about. Yo, he forgot him. This is how important he was to them, that he forgot him. He said, I don't have any other sons. I don't know what you could be talking about. And at that point, here comes stinking David coming in for a cup of water or whatever he came in for, coming taking a sheep break. And he comes walking up the road all dusty and stink. And the prophet goes, that's him. That's the king. And the father's like, is it a wonder that after David becomes that, you don't hear about father and brothers anymore? You notice that? David was like, I'm out of here. I ain't never talking to your N-words again. I'm gone. You didn't even remember. You didn't even know me. When he came to take on Goliath, the brother's like, oh, what do you want? Who's taking care of your sheep? What are you doing here on the battlefield? Go back and tend your sheep. Isn't that what you do? Why are we running every time Goliath comes out and hide under rocks? And David came out with an understanding. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. David came out with an understanding that he wasn't trained by the school book rules. He didn't color inside the lines. He just knew circumstance and situation demanded a response from God, and he knew how to get it. He didn't know the rules. He didn't know that you had to fill out 3 documents and file them and send them up through the ranks and put it on the boss's desk, and he'll get back to you to 1 in 15 days, and he'll let you know, and then you have to have the second meeting. Here's what he knew. I'm tasked to take care of the sheep. Why is this role important? Come on. Why is this role important? Even though daddy don't remember him, I need you to understand that this role is important. Why is this role important? Lindsay got it. See, that's the business mind. That's their money. They're in the sheep business. If lions come through that night and destroy all their sheep, that's it. Brothers can't wear them nice clothes and stand in front of Father and none of that mess if it wasn't for stinking David. So the person that's the most important to their existence, they don't even count important. David may have felt rejected by Daddy, but nonetheless, he was vital to their existence. No sheep, no money, no food. They're in the poorhouse. So while they were standing around being cute, David was the supporting factor that kept them alive. And in those times of the bear running up on him, I'm sure his father didn't give him bear training. Here's how you beat a bear. And if a lion comes, here's what you do. David, because if he did, David would have done what we do if we saw a lion. Sheep, you're on your own. But because of where he was and who he depended on hearing from, because of the way he viewed life, are you listening to me? Because of the way he viewed life, he knew he was tasked with this one thing: protecting the family's business. And whatever that took, I did. I just figure it out and I do it. So the lion came at the sheep, and I ran at the lion. And the lion jumped at me, and I caught him by his beard. And I took my stick and I smacked him in his head. And he fell down and I killed him. And then when the bear came, I ran up on the bear. Listen. Now, I don't know how true this is, but the reports are that during these times, David is about 15, 16 years old when he faces Goliath. How many of you at 15 or 16 was running up on lions or bears or even thinking about it? He takes a bear down with his stick. This is what I do. Now, that training, that way of viewing things, makes nothing that confronts him impossible, because this is what you do in times like that. You draw on the strength that God has given you and the ability that you have present, not the abilities that you need to gain. I'm going to walk off a camera view for a minute, but I just want to look some people in the face. What he knew was, when situations come and problems come at you, it don't make a difference if they're big or small. He knows that I don't have to go get training. I take what I have and the God that is with me and I subdue it. You're going to catch that in a minute. I'm preaching really good right now. I just want to let you know that in case you don't know. He knew that what was in his hands was enough. Maybe you'll catch it that time. You still don't have it. He knew that he had all things that pertain to life and godliness at his disposal right now, whatever the situation was that confronted him. Maybe you're catching it a little bit better right now. Okay, in other words, David had this understanding that I don't know what the rules are to winning. I just know if it confronts me and it is not supposed to be here, me and the God that I serve will take it out. No, but if I could just get some degrees, Pastor, and I can go to school and I get my master's and my doctorate, that don't mean nothing. If God's not with you and you're not facing it with him, you're still trying to color in the lines. So you're expecting your degree to make you win and not God. You think your education is going to make you face this bear that they didn't train you to fight in class. Your degree taught you to navigate the job market. It did not teach you to take on the bear. I don't know. You're not hearing me. You're not hearing me. See, my baby girl wanted to go to Broadway. She didn't know the treachery that goes with that world. Mike is smiling. She didn't know the backstabbers. Right? She didn't understand that industry is filled with wolves. I made sure I took the time not to train her how to do that, but how to deal with wolves and bears and lions. I can't teach you how to dance. I can't teach you how to do choreography. But I can teach you how to take a bear out. Are you catching this? Say, what I have, do this, right now, is enough. Are you feeling that? What you have, Mike, what I have right now, Mitchell, what I have right now is enough. It's enough. No, but after you get your doctorate, you got to get your second doctorate, and then you got to get the super duper doctorate, then you got to be the supersized doctor. It's like there's always something else there. And if you could get that, then you can make more money. But if you believe that what you have right now in your hands is enough, it is. It is. My God. It's enough. It's enough. So, God calls us like he called David, whether he was 16 or whatever, with the skills that he knew were already in him because of the experiences that he allowed him to have. What looked like rejection to everybody else, and maybe even to him, was preparation for the task at hand. How many of you honestly will admit you're still kind of waiting for something before you can be that something? See? Are you going to change your position today? Because what you have in your hands is enough. What you have in your heart is enough to do everything God called you to do, or he wouldn't have called you. I've delayed the process for decades, thinking I had to get something before I could do what God called me to. I delayed the process, telling God that he had to wait until I got this before I can do that. You take somebody who can't swim and you throw them in the water, they're going to do one or two things. They got choice. What are those two things? Swim quick or drown. A person determined to live will learn how to swim. If not, if they don't know how to do anything but tread water, they will learn. I'm not advising anybody to do that. Disclaimer. I'm just trying to make a point. David had a calling. That calling, whenever anything faced him, came to surface. And he did, listen to me, somebody say unusual things. Going out and fighting a bear as a teenager is not a normal everyday thing. Taking on a lion with a stick is not a normal, unusual thing. I mean, not a normal, usual thing. That's weird. So, well, I mean, on time, because we're going to pick up next week. Yeah, we're coming. This is the last 1 minute. So, we're going to get into the verses next week, but we're going to talk about the process of standing. Standing is not just taking a beating until your victory comes. That's not standing. That's probably what we've been taught in this process. Take a lick in and keep on ticking and just keep holding on, baby. Hold on, baby. Just hold on, baby. Sooner or later, the devil's going to get tired of whipping on you, and he's going to leave, and then the sun's going to come out, and God's going to come through, and he's going to meet you with the blessings. No. See, when Jesus went through his 40-day temptation in the wilderness, he wasn't being beat up by the devil. He was shutting him down. He was rebuking him and resisting every thought and anything that sought to exalt itself above the knowledge of truth. So when those days came and those manifestations came, they didn't come as a result of him wrestling and fighting. It came as a result of him standing. Did I lose anybody? The key to your victory is not going to be in how well you fight and take it like a champ. How many of you have been believed that in your heart and been lied to, even though you know the truth, that, yeah, I just got to hold on and take the whippings long enough till God shows up with a blessing? Come on. Thank you for being honest, because a lot of people are not being honest. Sooner or later, it's going to happen. Okay? And what are you doing in the process? I'm just taking it. Really? That's not what Jesus did. You see everything the devil said. He rebuked him and he told him why. That's not how it works in my world. Turn these stones to bread. That's not how it works in my world. I don't depend on that. I don't live by that. I live by the words that come out of the mouth of God. What a powerful statement. No, man doesn't live on bread alone. He lives on the word of God. Okay. You be the Son of Man, jump down off of this mountain then. See if he lifts you up. Yeah, no, that's not how it works either. You don't go around now taking this power and trying to test God to see if God is really real. You believe or you don't believe, but you don't try to do things to test God to see if he'll do what he said. Some of you will pick that up in a few seconds. You don't pay your tithes and then see if God's going to bless you. You don't go out and do good and hold the door for people because God going to bless me. God hold the door for a lot of people. You don't do good things to see if God will bless you because of them. Yeah, you're looking away from me now because you know I'm telling the truth. I'm past the stage of life where I do what's right, so I've tried to force God's hand to do something nice for me. I do what's right because I know that's how the system works. And whether he does what I think he should do or not is immaterial to me. Truthfully speaking, I'm at the stage in my life that I really don't want God to do what I think he should do. Play that over in your mind a couple of times. I'm at the stage in life that I'm saying, God, thank you for all the times that you didn't do what I prayed for you to do. Thank you for all the unanswered prayers. Thank you for all the times you said no to my stupid request. Thank you for all the times that I thought that I knew better when I was asking you for what I was asking for and you didn't let it come to pass. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Do I have some witnesses? So I'm in a place now, I'm like, God, you know what you're doing. You knew before I was in my mother's womb what I'm supposed to do. Just tell me what I need to do to get to that destination. And if any bears and lions come up, I believe that whatever tools I have in my hand, if it's nothing but a walking stick, I'll be all right. Say it one more time. I have all things right now that pertain to life and godliness. From this point on, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not a cliche. I'm expecting to see myself grow into that truth. Good? Did you get something?